What does the future hold for local card shops? How might they change in the year ahead? We're tackling that topic today with some of the biggest card shop owners in the business on Sports Card Investor.
My name is Jeff Wilson. By day, I invest in tech companies, and at night, I invest in sports cards. Join me and my team as we help you profit from the hobby we all love.
Hello, sports card investors, and happy holidays to you. The holidays are here. We've got a fun conversation for you today with some of the largest card shop owners in the U.S. talking about the future of card shops. This is going to be a fun one for sure. And this episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay is here for the card collectors with a trick for every trade, like advanced tools for price checking with Price Guide Beta within the eBay app, and up to 50% faster listing with Image Scan. Learn how collecting just got smarter at ebay.com/tradinghub. So at our virtual holiday event that we did on our YouTube channel a few weeks ago, we had an amazing array of speakers. And as part of that, we had several of the most important, biggest, and best card shop owners from around the United States come on the show to talk about how this year has been for their shops, and more importantly, what the future looks like. And we are going to bring you right now a replay of that conversation. It's a conversation you don't want to miss. Enjoy. All right, guys, we have an incredible group of people we are bringing on now. These are some of the very top card shop owners in the entire country, in the entire world. An amazing group of individuals. Let's bring them on to get their perspective about the sports card hobby and where things are going, because there is no greater group to tell us about that than these fine folks. Let's first bring on Joe Davis from GotBaseballCards.com. Joe's a familiar face. Have you been watching, you know, this virtual or previous virtuals or just about any content on this channel? You've seen Joe time and time again. And Joe, tell everybody about your shop.
Jeff, it's great to be with you. Yeah, I'm Joe Davis with GotBaseballCards.com. We're located in Loganville, Georgia. Been happy to get to be a part of this hobby for over 30 years now. We do our best to serve customers both locally and globally, whether it's, you know, grading cards with us or whether it's ordering new wax or consigning cards, whatever. We try to be a full service, one-stop shop for all sports and offer trade nights and lots of fun stuff like that for young collectors.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, we've got a great bulk grading program that we do here at Sports Card Investor with Joe. If you're interested in getting your cards graded by any of the companies, any of the major companies, we've got a great deal with Joe to get you discounts on that. You go to sportscardinvestor.com and click on grading in the main menu bar to find out about that. Awesome, Joe. Welcome back to the virtual. We're happy to have you.
Great to be here.
Awesome. And let's bring on the card father. Let's bring on Rob from Burbank Sports Cards. Rob, you are one of the originals in the card shop world, and you've got an incredible card shop, a card shop that some regard as one of the greatest card shops in the world out there at Burbank. Tell everybody about yourself.
Let's see here. I started working in a coin and stamp shop in 1979. I've owned the business outright since 1989. Just love cards. We've got two facilities. One is our retail showroom. It's got 33 showcases. It's ultra organized. It's brand new. We just moved here in July. We've also got a 7,500 foot facility next door that houses over 40 million cards that are accessible online.
40 million cards. Absolutely incredible. And do you inventory those one by one?
Yes. Yes, we do. We have minions. No, but we have them in a database, and it's literally the whole building's on eBay over there. We got 2.5 million different listings on eBay. So I keep a team of guys quite busy.
Unbelievable. That's amazing. All right, well, let's go to the middle of the country. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio, and let's go to Ryan from Card Collector 2. Ryan, welcome back to the virtual. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and tell everybody about your shop.
Yeah, so we We are located in Grove City, Ohio, about 15 minutes south of Columbus. And while we have not been open as long, nearly as long as these two fine gentlemen have, we're certainly hoping to be around as long as they have. So we've only been open for about 2.5 years. But again, like both of these guys, we offer a wide variety of singles, wax, grading, all sorts of different things.
Awesome. Well, welcome back, Ryan. You guys do a fantastic job there. Card collector too. And now let's go to a new store, a newer store that has received all kinds of attention because of a prominent location and absolutely wonderful trade nights that they put together, Bleecker Trading in New York City. Welcome, Mark, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. It's exciting.
Absolutely. And tell everybody about your shop.
As you mentioned, new store based in West Village, New York City. Really, during the pandemic, didn't have a place to congregate for the hobby for cards. New York just doesn't have that kind of welcoming rent. So we jumped into it. We're able to put our spin on what we think of as more of a modern hobby shop. We have what we call fun to find wax. Everything from your skybox basketball in the 90s to things that you can access today up into your NTs and your flawlesses. We do focus on a lot of merchandise, a lot of exclusive collabs that we'll do with different artists or different project folks like Ski, Natural. We get to work with brands like Activision and Hulu to do events and kind of bring a little bit more culture into the hobby and kind of recognize, I think, the growth that's happening here. And recently, I think what we're most proud of is we have the largest collection of Type 1 photos on display in New York City, something that I jumped into after the National. It's been a big passion of mine.
That's awesome. And you made me tremendously jealous, Mark. We had Laura Don Diego from Don Diego Trading on last night. And of course, I have seen that incredible, you know, storefront design you did with her in New York City. She's beaming ear to ear about that still. That was amazing. I'm sure that was a wonderful trade night you guys did.
It was. I mean, you got to give Laura credit. Our window has been iconic. It started with Babe Ruth and Ski. Then we went into Derek Jeter, Michael Jordan, and now Laura. So, you know, it's been really cool. I did promise Tyler, though, if we can figure out a way to get Ryan and his wife to New York, we would consider maybe something a little bit more iconic on Bleecker Street. So, you know, just something to think about in the future.
Okay, right. So this is the offer right now to card collector Ryan here?
I mean, it's hard to get through Lou and Tyler. So when Kelly made the offer to come be near him, I thought, you know, hey, I met John in L.A. a few months back. He made it clear he's not coming to the East Coast anytime soon. But, you know, Ryan's like very high on our radar, someone we want to show New York to. So something very exciting.
All right. Well, if you get Ryan out there and you're going to paint that storefront again, please feature Ryan's wife. She's much prettier than Ryan is. That would be my recommendation if you want to pull people into the shop.
You know, good people like Adam Lefko have hinted to us that's the key. So, you know, yes. We're trying to follow the experts. We can't get you out there, Jeff. So, you know, we'll hang tight for now.
I will be up there someday. I will definitely be up there someday, but I will not ask you to paint me on the storefront. We can have Kelly from my team here on the storefront instead. It will
I don't know. With those suspenders, it may be worth it.
We'll see. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining, Mark. And then we have Jimmy from Awesome Sports. And Jimmy is a amazing wax dealer who has one of the most ridiculous wax collections you will have ever seen. And Jimmy, you were on this virtual a year ago, I think last summer. And I remember during it, you were showing off a lot of your higher end boxes. You had exquisite 2003 exquisite sealed boxes that you were showing off during that broadcast. And I shudder now to think about the prices you were quoting on those boxes that night. And the fact that I did not buy any of them that night from you, because I now see those same boxes going on golden auctions and eBay and all of these other, you know, areas for 10x, you know, what you were offering them for here on this show just over a year ago. It's absolutely incredible, the growth in wax.
Yeah, that was exquisite. I think at the time I had like 5 cases. And then I think that at the time it was like 100,000, 200,000. We sold pretty much all of it. And then I think the golden auction, they recently sold one for like $1 million or something like that. So I'm pretty dumbfounded by their price point. But my name is Jimmy. I own Awesome Sports, and we are strictly online. We specialize it only on open boxing cases. And I've been in the hobby for about 30 years and then start as a collector in high school. And then I had actually retail store in early 90s while I was going to college. And I started as a, started a retail shop and then been on and off as a, just an investor, buying a lot of unopened product for, you know, close to 30 years. And then last year I saw the that opportunity that how our industry changed dramatically. And I decided, okay, you know, we, you know, decided just to build the online platform since we had just, you know, a lot of rare unopened product that I decided to just open. I just named my first son's name Awesome and then just created Awesome Sports. And then we are going to year two. And then been just overwhelming fun and, you know, excitement, how industry has been changing, just seen from 30 years ago to, you know, last 2 years, basically.
And you, before we get into the group discussion, you've put together an incredible card show, card expo, Global Collectors Expo, you're calling it, in Las Vegas in March of next year. And this thing is going to be ridiculous. You told me some of your plans. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Yes. Yeah. So I just as our industry grow, I just kind of feel like we definitely need some people. Our trade show should be more like a tool to a lot of these newcomers. I feel like we need to just up the quality of a trade show. So we year ago, like early this year, I signed up contract with the MGM. And then we are actually putting show at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, 300,000 square foot. And then last month we secured actually a contract with the Allegiant Stadium, which is that's a new Raiders football stadium. So we're renting out the whole thing for after party. And then, you know, we're just basically just want to keep all this new collector different experience. So it shouldn't be more buy, sell, just like kind of swami Billy. I just kind of feel like a trade show should be just a tool of information and then just support the industry. So I want to just build a different experience than traditional trade show. So we're going to have just a complete different experience by just opening this stadium experience. And we're gonna actually also offer this not only just a face-to-face transaction, we also gonna have this virtual format where people that who couldn't make a trade show, they still can come to our online, the virtual platform, so they can still do the transaction with the people who set up for the show, basically.
Yeah, this is going to be an incredible show. I'm super excited. When you told me that we could hang out on the field of Allegiant Stadium and maybe kick field goals on the Raiders goalposts, I was like, okay, this is a card show I'm definitely coming to. So that is, what are the dates, Jimmy, in March?
Oh, yeah, it's right before March Madness. So it's going to be March 10, 11, 12, 13. And then we already, I know that hotel rooms are going to be just expensive. So we already reserve of 4,400 rooms reserved, and just we planned out this throughout the entire this year. So like just Wi-Fi, so we solved the problem with the Wi-Fi, and just we really detailed it out, and then on the where so we can give a completely different experience, a show experience. Hopefully, then we can have a good time, basically.
Awesome. Well, very much looking forward to that. Awesome, guys. Well, this is obviously a powerhouse panel. I would love to hear from you guys what this year has been like, because, you know, what a crazy year for the sports card hobby. Things were red hot at the beginning of the year. Then things kind of cooled off quite a bit. If you're looking at least secondary market prices, that may not be the case with what you guys have seen in your stores and customer transactions and everything. Recently, we've seen prices in some parts of the hobby really start to pick back up again. Other areas remain a little bit soft, but I'm curious to see in your card shops what you are seeing kind of going on, how this year has been for you. Joe, let's start with you.
It's been a fantastic year as a whole. You're correct. I mean, I see things on the as an insider in the industry as well. And you know, when people were panicking after we saw the dip, you know, after the start of the year was phenomenal, and then we kind of saw that dip, and then a lot of people are like, oh no, it's, you know, the run's over, things are tanking. And I was like, just hold on. You know, there's plenty of new people still pouring into our stores. You know, online auctions are still strong and so forth. Then we saw things rebound pretty quickly. So in the store, we are seeing more new faces than ever. Seems like every week we're still hearing those stories about, hey, I got out of it in the 80s or 90s and I'm back, or now I'm getting my kids into it. We've heard those stories so many times over the last year. It's great to see older collectors coming back and new collectors coming in. And what's great is it's not just people looking for a quick buck. It's a lot of people who are just really passionate about collecting and just loving the hobby for what it's all, you know, they want to collect their favorite team or their favorite player, or they love, you know, XYZ product and they want to buy that every year. And so it's very exciting. It's been very refreshing for me to see all the new faces, see older collect. I mean, sometimes I've seen customers I haven't seen in 20 years and now they're back in the store again. So it's been a phenomenal year, and I expect even greater things in the year to come.
That's great. That's great to hear. How about you, Rob? How has the year been for Burbank?
It's been, if you would have told me back in December 31st of last year what I had in store for 2021, I wouldn't believe you. Literally, we had lines out our door consistently all year at our old location. With COVID, we simply couldn't pack the showroom. We could only keep maybe 10, 11 people in at a time. And I'm sitting there as a retailer, sitting there telling people, you know, you've been in here 20 to 30 minutes. I've got to rotate you out to get someone else in. In what world do you even say those words? It's absolutely crazy. And we could be 25, 30 deep, people looking to get in, knowing ahead of time that we have that line. They were so passionate about visiting us, they would wait in that line, which is absolutely crazy. So we were faced with, what are we going to do about this? Well, our building, you heard how many cards we own, and the thought of moving everything just wasn't an option. There was just no way in hell I was going to move 40 million cards. Then this building came up about a block from us, literally. It was about 4,000 feet. Literally, you could walk back and forth. And we decided, you know what? We're going to take the leap. We're going to separate the business into an online center and a retail center and just reimagine what a card shop's supposed to look like. And just things that used to be in the past don't need to be in this store if it doesn't make sense. And it could be a Thursday at 3 p.m. and we could just be crazy in here, just the sheer amount of people. The distances they're traveling from it just blows my mind. People driving 3 hours to get here consistently once a week. We got guys in here 6 times a week, like no joke, because they need to see what new merchandise we put out because we're rotating things constantly. But it's not, you know, there's sexy cards. Don't get me wrong. We've got them. But I think at the core, we're a hobby shop. We have a room called the Fishbowl that we built that was specifically built for this building. It's got 600 double shoes that are color coded by sport and has about 280 different names. So as a hobbyist, you can walk in our store and you're looking for Clayton Kershaw cards. Cool. Pull down that double shoe. Dollar, dollar and a half, dollar, $2. Sit in the room, super comfortable, has its own television. And we are trying to be everything to everybody. That includes price points. Being very adamant about that. And it's just, I was here 14 hours yesterday. And I love it, but the place is absolutely exhausting at times, but it's a good exhausting and just a lot of first world problems. But when people walk in here, and the funny thing, and Joe will allude to this as well, there's so many new customers. We haven't been here 6 months yet, but I would say 70% of the people that come in here aren't aware that we had a store before this. They've been here first time in the last 6 months. And the funniest thing is, I don't even know what their full faces look like because so many of these customers are so new from the last 18 months, 6 months, whatever. We've had mask mandates the whole time. So it's just kind of funny that I don't even know what these people's faces look like, but they're in all the time. So incredibly exciting. And we'll talk further. It's just getting warmed up. It's simply just getting warmed up for everybody.
Awesome. That's great to hear. And that I love hearing about all the new people continuing to come in. That's great. Ryan, what are you seeing? Are you seeing still a lot of traffic from new people? I know you've also got a lot of kids who come to your store for your kids' trade night and everything like that.
Yeah, we've definitely seen a lot of that. A lot of younger collectors getting into it, which is great, right? Gotta definitely have somebody to pass it on to and encourage really the next generation of card collector. I would resonate, just resonate what those guys said, where it's really been wild, right? So it started off the year was really the first 3 months of the year. It didn't seem like no matter what we purchased, it wouldn't go up. It just, everything was really, really hot. And they'd have a little bit of a cool off right around the time PSA closes. And I think that's one thing we've really learned a lot this year is to really focus on like multiple streams of revenue, because PSA grading was such a big part of our business. And then when that goes away so abruptly, it really changed things and put a lot of things into perspective for us. So that really opened a lot of eyes for us this year. But again, we've really started focusing more like with that, we've started focusing a lot more on content creation, right? Trying to really replicate what Rob and his team have been able to build out there in Burbank, right? Like trying to be everybody to everybody, but in the same time also being nationally and globally known, right? I mean, if you ask anybody that I know in cards, what the number one card store in America, that's probably the number one answer at this point, right? I want to be like that. That's what we're trying to build, right? I don't know if I want 40 million cards online, but I would love to be able to, you know, we have people that travel 3 hours or 6 hours. Like I want to kind of replicate that same kind of thing and what a lot of these guys have done. So that's one thing, is just really focused a lot on, you know, content creation, growth, and then just continuing to build every day.
Awesome. Awesome. And Mark, you launched your store into a pandemic environment, right? And of course, the whole design of your store was for it to be like a social type experience. What has that been like for you, and how have you kind of overcome that?
Yeah, so we went into it knowing we wouldn't have access to sealed wax. No relationships with distributors, no even understanding of how to get it. So the idea of opening a social club was really the best idea. And really was trying to figure out a couple of things. One is, what does New York City really need from the hobby? Growing up in and around the New York City music scene, we had a store called Fat Beats. It's where you went to find and discover music. You maybe didn't spend a lot of money, but anything cultural that happened in music went down at Fat Beats. And so we tried to replicate that a little bit with the merch, with the events, kind of with a little bit of that exclusive by appointment only feel. It took off in a good way, where over the summer we did get access to GTS to give us, bring us on. And what we didn't know what that was or wasn't, we thought we like hit the Holy Grail when we got that call. Little did we know we just, you know, sold out to the mob. And no one likes me calling, Carvin a Finucci, the Black Hand, but you know, that's kind of the world we're in. So, you know, after my first 12 shipments of Sage Football, Jimmy, I don't know if you know this, but like we've done a handful of transactions with you. Some of the 2012 Prism, some of the LeBron Topps Chrome boxes. And those were the early days, Jeff, where Nat Turner would come by and just, he's putting up posts. Where do I buy cards in New York? And someone recommended Bleeker. He came by. And one of the things we had was, you know, one of those 2012 Prism boxes. And when he had put that up online, it got a little bit of people wanting to come down. And so we're still figuring out kind of, you know, how we play in the sealed wax world. We're doing very well in the private trading and selling. I think what we've seen over the last year that's been different is a lot of investors are just burned. They came in a little too late, got caught up in the hype, and they just want to know what to do with all this. We're not really here for those folks. I think it's interesting if they want to sell their cards at a 60, 70% discount. That's a different story. There's a lot of buyers for that. What we're getting, though, is a lot of those guys saying, hey, I bought in, didn't make the best decisions, but I love what I'm doing. And now I'm reading and I'm learning and I want to trade up. I want to take all these slabs of modern and maybe get one great card, or maybe take some of this modern and get it to some vintage. But this is the hobby I want to kind of have. I like the community that's coming and I want to stay in it. And so a lot of what we've tried to figure out is, how do we bring that community together? I think when you look at our trade nights, we start seeing a lot of those people we see on Instagram every day. And we're like, oh, my God, this is kind of Instagram in real life. From that standpoint, though, until we really get a flexible strategy to buy affordable wax, I think what we're trying to do is go outside the box as well. Go to events, take advantage of what New York really does offer to an LCS, which a lot of cities don't. Like we mentioned, able to work with brands like Activision and Call of Duty on the release of their new game, bring an art component and a collectible component to it where they gave us art prints. We said, well, let's bring our part of the hobby to it and at least get them numbered. And then, you know, work with every trade night we do. We have a print, went from making those prints to making those collectible prints to now Ski signed his last round of prints and PSA actually slabbed them. So coming up with other ways to do things, talking to some of the other brands, not the card companies, not the Upper Decks and the Paninis who should be helping us. Instead of Upper Deck telling me because I don't have a landline, they won't sell to me. They can't prove I'm a card store. But talking to the Goldens and the Heritages and even the Alts, the people that have, let's call it beyond Series A, Series B, and saying how can we become collaborative to kind of keep this vibe going, keep some cool factor into the hobby. And, you know, Ron, you bring up a good point. We get people traveling from all over to our trade nights, and it blows my mind. You know, it's they come from the Catskills. They come from Pennsylvania, 3, 4, 5 hours. And I think what I would love to do is hope that between all the people on this panel and the like-minded ones that aren't, is that you kind of set the example for the future LCSs. So no one has to travel 5 hours. But when I go to Chicago and I put up a post like, hey, where do I go? I'm overwhelmed with responses versus locals being like, nowhere really to come here, but I hope to make it to New York one day. So yeah, I think that those are kind of the big elements are people trading up to get to either vintage or to stay into the hobby, you know, trying to really build community and then, you know, figuring out what New York's stamp will be on the hobby and then figuring out other ways for an LCS to make money beside until, let's say, Fanatics, you know, makes life a little bit easier or takes out Finucci in the hallway.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys about that next. But first, I want to hear from Jimmy. You know, you've been in the hobby, Jimmy, for so long and have had this incredible wax collection for so long. What has your perspective been on how things have escalated over the last year or how things have been over the last year?
So I guess we can separate like a more 2020 versus 2021, where 2020 nearly I had like just people on the phone online, like just asking for product to where this year, one thing I noticed is they're becoming very selective of what they want to buy. I think just a main reason is it's just we're going through session of like a growing pain. That's kind of what I will look at it because 2020 has been incredible year for everybody because of with the pandemic, people just isolated and then just collecting any collectible industry just took like X times a 10 to grow that much further. Then 2021 comes and then everything kind of starts to settle down and then where everybody's starting to make adjustment starting with a lot of these PSA and BGS just grading company and then where they shut it down and they adjust the pricing and then they try to like regroup themselves while that happening. Then obviously a lot of retail product and a lot of product that has a lot of regular base cards that's become like ungradable. So that actually result to people to be more selective and the gear toward the hit and miss type product like a Flawless and National Treasure. And then things, product like a Prism and Select become less popular. But I feel like this is a more like a short term where even though there's a lot of people panicking compared to 2020, I just think that this is like a year of a growing pain, a lot of adjustment it's making on the 2021 in short time. But I think when 2022, 2023 comes, and I just feel like things are going to get adjusted and it's going to be stabilized.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear about the optimism for the future for sure. All right, guys, this has been awesome. Let me get you out of here on this. I want to hear one prediction for the next year, one prediction for 2022. It can be related to the card industry or heck, it can be anything else. Maybe Ryan's going to tell me that Ohio State's going to somehow make it back to the playoffs next year, even though I don't believe it. But give me one prediction for 2022, but you got to give it to me in one sentence or less. One sentence. Joe, I'm going to start with you. One prediction for 2022.
Lots more growth, but consolidation on the top end of the industry.
Interesting. Very much. Very good. I like that. How about you, Rob?
An incredible amount of content will be hitting the mainstream airwaves.
I like that as well. And I think that that is true for sure. That's going to help things. How about you, Ryan?
Huge growth in fringe sports markets like soccer, UFC, F1, and others.
Yeah. And we're already starting to see that for sure. We've seen a lot of that this year, but you're definitely bullish on that continuing. That's awesome to hear. Mark, how about you?
Live experiences will reach an all-time high for this hobby.
And that's a good one to lead into Jimmy because he's behind one of those live experiences. Jimmy, one prediction from you.
It will be huge transition change year. 2020 will be.
There you go. Awesome, guys. This has been a pleasure. It's an honor to have so many esteemed shop owners in our hobby on all together. It's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for joining the Virtual Sports Card Con, and good luck. Best of luck to all of you guys in 2022 and beyond. What do you think the future for card shops should hold? Is there anything you would love to see card shops do to provide a better experience for you? Let us know in the comments below. And hit that subscribe button and that bell icon if you haven't already so we can continue to bring you new episodes such as this. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll see you back soon with our next one. Take care.